Turn tonight in your Bibles to the book of Psalms chapter 126, and I want to read a very familiar portion of God's Word. Now, every now and then, I have a message that I preach on the precious Word of God that I want to again preach this evening. I want to preach from the same passage and basically give to you tonight the same outline that I've used time and time again when we talk about the precious Word of God. I just believe that every now and then it's good to have a message exclusively on the Word of God itself. And we're going to be talking about the precious Word of God tonight. I want to read Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." 1 Peter 1:23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." So in 1 Peter chapter 1, the seed is referencing the word of God. I simply want to borrow tonight from Psalm 126, where it talks about the precious seed, and at least make the application tonight with that word precious to apply to the precious Word of God. What I want to do tonight in this message is to take the word precious itself, and again, I've preached this many, many times. I usually make a note of the various sermons I've preached, churches where I preached it, and this is one of those messages that I come back to time and time again. And rightly so, because we're talking about the Word of God. I've oftentimes looked at the subject of the Word of God. I thought, what would be the best way to preach upon that subject? And then I come back basically to the thoughts that I've been preaching for many, many years. And I think they basically, in my opinion, say just about what we need to say in reference to why the Word of God is precious. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, tonight we come to you in prayer. We thank you for the precious Word of God. We ask you now to bless the preaching of the Word tonight. We know that this is Beam Sunday, and this is a day that this church, once a month, on this particular Sunday of the month, our church has several people committed to giving money that goes to purchase Bibles to distribute in various places around this world. And so, Lord, tonight, bless us as we consider this message on your precious word, and it certainly is precious. Bless now, we pray, meet needs in Jesus' name. Amen. I was looking in my concordance tonight, sitting down there waiting till it came time for me to preach, and I looked in the concordance, and I was looking at the word precious. Several things in the Bible are called precious. First of all, Psalm 116, verse 15, and you can call this right now if you want to, you can call this my concordance sermon. I'm actually looking at the concordance. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's Psalm 116, verse 15. 1 Peter 1:19, the precious blood of Christ. Peter develops the thought, we're not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You have the precious death of God's people. You have the precious blood of Jesus, referred to as precious. Also, 1 Peter 2:7 talks about the fact that he is precious. Talking about the Lord himself, he is precious. Then 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter talks about like precious faith. Like precious faith. 2 Peter 1:4, he talks about great and precious promises. Now, coming to our thought tonight, let me this evening bring to you this message again on the precious Word of God. Now, in Psalm 119, verse 72, there's a verse there that is a tremendous verse, which I think highlights again the value of the Word of God. The Bible says that the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. In the 119th Psalm, there are various ways that God's Word is referred to. One of those ways, it's referenced as the law. The psalmist said, "The law is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Now let's come back to this text here before us. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed," notice this, "shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." An old song that sometimes we've sung, "Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine." That's the precious Word of God. This particular passage of Scripture here talks about a person that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, to give you a little bit of an outline of even those two verses, we can look at those verses, for example, like this. We see, for example, we notice the tears. "They that go forth and weepeth," the tears, reminding us this evening that the people of God ought to be people who weep over souls. We ought to shed tears for lost people. We ought to be burdened for the lost state of humanity. "He that goeth forth and weepeth." Jesus was a man of sorrows, was he not? Jesus beheld the city of Jerusalem and wept over it. And we find time and time again, we see his concern. I think of Paul, "Brethren, my heart's desire, prayer to God for Israel, is that they might be saved." So I think it is important that the church, that God's people, give out the precious Word of God, but do so with tears. We need broken hearts for sinners. We need to be more burdened in sinners than we are. We see the tears. We see the task. "He that goeth forth," notice that, "he that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed," the task, going forth and weepeth. Thank God for what we experience when we're in church, but we need to let what happens here translate into our lives. We need to take what we learn, take what we've been given, and pass it on to others. We need to be giving out the precious Word of God. We notice the tears. We see the task. We see the tool. The tool. Bearing precious seed. That's the word. The treasure. Yes, the treasure is in the seed. It's precious seed. But yet we also notice the treasure of bringing the sheaves. We see the results. We see the results. I want to say tonight, the Word of God is precious. I believe this evening we have the Word of God. We have it here tonight in our hands. You see, we make no doubt about it that our church, doctrinally, we believe that we have a copy of God's preserved Word. And even the King James Version of the Bible, we believe it's God's preserved Word for the English-speaking people. Now, I would be less than what I should be if I'd stand up here before you tonight and say this contains the Word of God. I believe it doesn't contain the Word of God. I believe it is the Word of God. And so we're blessed tonight to have the Word of God, that God has preserved, that we can study, that we can read, that we can feed upon, that we can give it out, that we can be blessed, that we can be edified by having the precious Word of God. This evening, as we think of that word, precious, I'm going to build my thoughts around the word precious. When I was in college, we took these speaking courses, and then we took these preaching courses, and we were taught, among other things, that sometimes there is some value in using what we would call an acrostic. We take a certain word, we break that word down, we look at every letter within that word, and we let those letters constitute a point to feed the word. In other words, we let the letters within the word constitute points to prove, to substantiate what that word says. In this case here, it's the word precious. We take the word precious, We break the word down. We look at the letters that make up the word precious. In each one of those letters, we can see justification proving that the Word of God is precious. To begin with tonight, our eyes fall upon the first letter of that word, which is the letter P. Could I do this tonight? Could I let the letter P represent the word power? I believe the Word of God tonight is precious because of its P, its power. Its power makes it precious. There is no other writing on the face of this earth that has the power of the Word of God. There's nothing any more powerful than the Word of God. The Word of God tonight is more powerful than any writing that man has ever created. You see, when it comes to what man does, man creates a best-selling novel or a particular book, and within a week, it might be outdated. It may need to be revised. But my friend, tonight, the Word of God will never have to be revised. I believe it's as fresh tonight as it was the day, or the time rather, that it fell on the pages of Scripture. I believe it's powerful tonight. The Word of God is powerful. We can support that in many ways. It's powerful for many ways. Number one, it's powerful because it produces life. It produces life. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It produces life. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It produces life. When we think of the Word of God, yes, we think of the gospel, which is the good news concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but that comes to us, it's stated in the Word of God, though. So the Bible produces life. Every person here tonight that's been saved, you've been saved because you've been quickened by the Word of God. Life has been produced in you. You've been given spiritual life because of this supernatural book called the Word of God. It produces life. Powerful, precious because of its power. Produces life. Number two, procures cleansing. This book is unique in the sense that it procures cleansing. It cleans us up. The Bible says in John 15:3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. It procures cleansing. When you and I get to reading the Word of God, we get convicted and we confess our sins, and that's when cleansing takes place. But you see, it's the Bible that brings conviction, and that results in repentance, that results in confession. And then the cleansing takes place. Now you are clean through the Word, which I have spoken unto you. Oh, it's a precious book. Precious because of its power, produces life, procures cleansing. Number three, prevents sinning. Prevents sinning. Psalm 119, verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. We all know what that verse says, but I want to read it right from the text. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. It prevents sinning. Keep the word of God in your heart, and you'll cut down on your sinning. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's why we encourage people as a preacher to read the Bible, memorize the Bible, pray over the Bible, love the Bible, and I believe it'll protect us from sin. It'll keep us pure. It'll keep us from sin. It's protective. Precious. Produces life. Procures cleansing. Prevents sinning and protects the saint. Paul, I believe it was Paul, Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder the soul and spirit of the joints and the marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. You know what a two-edged sword does, don't you? It cuts going and it cuts coming. It cuts gold and coming. That's what the Bible does, you see. It protects the saint. Now, what I mean by that, when we think of protection, I think of an old Roman soldier I think of how the soldier depended on his sword. And that sword was a protective weapon. A protective weapon. And oh yes, God's word is a protective weapon against the devil. That sword, Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness, he responded to the devil's accusation, to the devil's temptation by saying, "It is written." The devil cannot argue against the word of God. It is defensive. It is also offensive. But you see, it protects the saint. You and I can't out-argue the devil. And let me tell you something this evening. Here's a nugget I'm going to give you. When it comes to witnessing, talking to people about the Lord, don't let the devil discourage you and defeat you into thinking you've got to be a walking dictionary, Bible dictionary, or a walking Bible encyclopedia, or a walking commentary. A lot of people don't want to talk to anyone because they're thinking, "I'll get trapped. I won't be able to answer. I won't be able to argue the point. I can help you if you'll let me." But our intention is not to argue the point. Our intention are not to impress with what we know. Just drop the seed at their doorstep and let God use that. The Lord promises to honor His word, not our argument. People are not saved because of our ingenuity, our creativity, our ability, our education. They're not saved by that. They're saved by the word of God. Give people the word of God and let God use that. I mean, there's nothing wrong in saying, "Let me tell you what the Bible says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Let me tell you what the Bible says. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me tell you what the Bible says. That if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Now they may come back to you. They may say to you, "Well, I don't understand that. Or would you please explain to me?" Sometimes they'll come at you like this. "Well, where did Cain get his wife?" Well, you ask him, "Where did he get his wife?" Since he's being nosy. Some people won't witness because they're fearful of being trapped. Drop the seed of the Word of God on their doorstep and let the Holy Spirit use it. It is amazing how the Word of God is so powerful. It does produce life. The Holy Spirit has something to work with. And it does germinate. It does come up. It's almost like this. You know, years ago, there was a Egyptian Pharaoh's tomb. There was some digging done in the tomb of an Egyptian Pharaoh, King Tut. And they discovered among the treasures in King Tut's tomb, they found some seed that actually was inside the tomb of King Tut. He had been dead, estimated, 3,000 years. Some of the scientists took some of that seed and planted it, and it sprouted and grew. And it grew into a plant. We're talking about seed that's been inside that tomb for 3,000 years. But it still sprouted. It still grew when it was watered and the conditions were met. No wonder the Word of God is called seed. No wonder it's compared to seed. You plant the seed, and God can use that. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So just get serious about planting seed, not being some kind of an expositor, and you'll be surprised how God can use the spoken word or give people a track, but anything with the Word of God on it. Here's what I'm saying tonight. The Word of God is precious. Precious because of P is power. Number two, precious because of the R, it's reproof. The R reminds us of reproof. The Bible reproves. The Bible really does. The Bible reproves, it opposes, it rejects all that is unholy, all that is ungodly, and all that is vile. The Word of God condemns sin. Now, have you noticed this? It seems like this thing of condemning sin is becoming a little bit more rare as time goes on in a lot of churches. In fact, some of the fastest growing churches today upon the face of this earth are churches that do very little condemning sin. But what they do, they make everybody have warm, fuzzy feelings, and when they go out happy. God's more concerned tonight in our being holy than happy. But the Bible still condemns sin. You see, you know why our church? Why we stand against sin? Because the Bible stands against sin. We're not out on a limb at all. The Bible condemns sin. And God hasn't changed. I can see right now, you'll not hear this whole word precious used tonight. I'll not get through all this. But that's okay. We'll finish it later, Lord willing, or the rapture will take place. And then I'll let the Lord finish it. He'll do a lot better job than me. The Bible is precious because of its reproof. It condemns sin. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I have within my possessions a book that condemns sin in spite of what people do. Churches, many don't condemn sin, and society certainly doesn't. In fact, society, as we get closer to the trumpet, is not only not condemning sin, but society is liking sin more, changing its names now. The bathroom deal, for one thing. Who would have ever thought there would even be this discussion made on news concerning transgender bathrooms? Common sense ought to kick in. You're male or female, common sense ought to kick in. I mean, I don't want to sound stupid or rude or plumb, plain tonight, but if you doubt what you are, look down. I'm sorry. Don't you get tired sometime? You get tired sometime of how society is trying to change things around. God's word clearly condemns homosexuality. It cost 5 cities of the plains fire and brimstone out of heaven. It's a devastating sin. It is destructive to the homes. It is against nature. It's against God's intention for the home. It's still sin. You say, well, be careful. You may wind up in jail. Well, they're going to have to build a lot of jails, all I can say. Because there's a lot of old-fashioned Christians that still believe that sin is still black and it's still sin. And we can't change because if the Bible condemns something, we have to condemn it. But I love the Word of God. I'm glad it's precious because it does reprove. The night that I got saved, the Bible lowered the boom on me. I knew that I was an old hell-bound sinner, and I'm glad it exposed me for what I was, because if it hadn't have been, I wouldn't have even got saved. I'm glad where it says our righteousness is just like filthy rags. The night I got saved and the preacher was preaching the Word of God, I saw my filthy rags of righteousness. And I left that service that night rejoicing over the fact of the precious Word of God, because it brought me to a state of conviction. It's precious. R reproves. The Bible reproves, opposes, rejects. It upholds righteousness. It upholds purity. It upholds morals. It upholds ethics. It says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Society can get corrupt all it wants to. And by the way, look around you, society. If it gets any more rotten, it's going to drop off the vine. Have we ever seen a time of so much corruption, so much pollution? It is terrible. I'm telling you, the old preacher said, Sodom and Gomorrah needs an apology compared to where we are in our culture. But the Bible still condemns sin, but behind it all, behind the condemnation against sin, is a loving God that loves the sinner. And I'll be quick to point out tonight, where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. There is a Savior tonight. And God is able to save. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God can save the homosexual. God can save the transsexual. God can save those people. The blood of Christ still cleanses from all sin. That includes that. So don't accuse a Bible believer of being a hateful type of a person, because we believe tonight it's by the grace of God. And I like what the Bible says. Such were some of you, but now you are washed. Not a sin that ever came down the pike, but what you and I would be a candidate for, but by the grace of God anyway. I mean, we're not immune. This nature of ours still is as corrupt as it was the day that God found us and saved us. But we can appreciate our Bible tonight because it still remains the same in his condemnation of sin. We better get our standard for ethics not from the newspaper, not from the media, not from the news. We better let it continue to be from the Word of God, hadn't we? The Bible is precious. It reproves. It serves notice on Satan. He's conquered. It serves notice on the sinner. Sin will find him out. It serves notice on the world system and will be judged. Precious Word of God. Precious because of its P, its power. Precious because of the R, it reproves. And then thirdly, the Word of God is precious because of the E. Now here's what I'm going to do. Time will quit. You'll fall asleep. Or I'll have a heart attack. I may not get it through, so I'll give it to you in advance. Here it is. You want my whole outline? Got a pen, pencil handy? Write it down. Here it is. The word precious. Or, P, power. R, reproof. E is precious because of its eternality. It's precious because of the C, comfort. Comfort. It's precious because of the I, its inspiration. It's precious because of the O, its objective. It's precious because of the U, it's unity. It's precious because of the S, it's sufficiency. Now come back with me to the third point. It's precious because of its eternality. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Mark chapter 12, verse 31. It's eternality. There have been times in church history that in spite of persecution, in spite of ridicule, in spite of argument, it has been found, it has stood the test of time, the Word of God has still survived. During the bloody Inquisition, go back in church history, there were times that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of copies of the Word of God were piled together and thrown on a bonfire and burned. And the emperors thought they would destroy the Word of God. But they didn't succeed, did they? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will not pass away. It's indestructible. You cannot destroy it. It's just like the illustration we've used of the ship out at the sea. It was a terrible storm. The wind was blowing. And the captain on the ship looked out ahead and he could see a light at a distance. He began to send the signal out. Change your course. Change your course. I'm heading in that direction. He signaled, change your course. I'm heading in your direction. Finally, the message came back to the captain of that ship. You change your course. This is the lighthouse. God's Word is the lighthouse. It's indestructible. It'll never change. It will never be removed. Isaiah 40, verse number 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It'll stand forever. The Bible has a claim of the longest existence of any book. As I said earlier, during the Inquisition period, thousands of copies of the Word of God were destroyed, but still yet, God's Word survives. Satan found he cannot destroy it. But here's what I believe he's doing. The devil knows he cannot destroy the Word of God, but is coming at it with another attempt. He's trying to dilute it. Can't destroy it, but he's trying to dilute it. Last 20 years, it is amazing the amount of translations that have come off of presses. Last 20 years. I challenge anybody, study the history of revival, study the history of spiritual awakenings in this nation, and you will find God's Word was being preached. Yes, the Textus Receptus was preached from that manuscript where we have the Word of God. Trace it to revival movements. I'm saying tonight, history proves that God's hand has been upon His Word. He has preserved it. The devil cannot destroy it. An atheist infidel by the name of Voltaire predicted in 1778. He said that in 100 years from that date, he said God's Word will be obsolete. In the very place where Voltaire made that statement, later on became a Bible bookstore. Right where he made the statement. You can't destroy it. That's why it's precious. It is eternal. This book is eternal. It'll stand forever. Oh, isn't it precious? Precious because of its power, precious because of the R, its reproof, precious because of its eternality. And I'm going to mention one more point and we'll be through tonight. It's precious because of its C, all the comfort of the Word of God. All the comfort of the Word of God. We're told that the word comfort, or let's say promises, in the Bible, there are 8,819 promises in the Word of God. Promises to me spell comfort. Oh, what are some of them? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Lord is our shield. Why, we could go on and on and on, couldn't we? The promises of God. What a blessing. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Let me read it. I'll just thumb over and read. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Here's a great promise. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. The Bible says, well, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Can't get any plainer than that, can you? Comfort one another with these words. So the promises in the Bible is precious because of the comfort. Could I tonight, by way of testimony, tell you this evening? Many, many times when my heart was heavy and cares of this life had me weighed down, I have found refuge and comfort and help in God's precious Word. I say like the person that wrote the poem in a time of deep dejection, Jesus journeyed by, saw my heart was dull and empty, gently asked me why. When I had told my troubles, lovingly He came, filled Himself the vacant chambers, blessed be His name. Now no more my heart is empty, never more will be filled with Jesus, Jesus only, for eternity. The comfort of the Scriptures. Many times when I have had issues going on from the world or wherever it might be, I have sought refuge in the Word of God, and I begin to read about my high tower, who is the Savior. I begin to read about the fact that He is my high priest. I read precious truths about, by one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, and the promises of God's Word soften and encourage and uplift my heart. And I have many times in my office at home, I can't tell you the time that God has broken my heart in the right kind of a way, and tears have begun to flow as I have been reading and reflecting upon a passage of Scripture, and I have sensed God's presence and God's precious presence in my life. The Holy Spirit has nudged me through the Word of God and says, all is well, don't fret. Here's a promise that'll help you through the day. The precious promises of God's Word makes this book precious. The promises. You know them. You know many of them. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the called according to His purpose. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. There's so many of them. So many of them. The promises of God. I look at that word, precious. And I come to that word, P, God's promises. And I see, oh yes, the Word of God, or see rather, the Word of God reminds me of the comfort, promise of comfort, the comfort of God's Word. Well, I'm going to be respectful for the clock here tonight. I'm going to close. But we'll come back to this, Lord willing, next Sunday night. I want to finish this up talking about the precious Word of God. And I believe this evening, and here's the whole thing, since this is a standard for faith and practice, since our life is built upon this, since our church is built upon this, since this gives us doctrine, since this is our marching manual, since this is our soldier's manual, since this is our food, since this is our sword, no wonder we ought to endear it. It ought to be as precious to us personally and individually as it is in terms of what it says about itself. The Bible, the precious seed, God's Word, is precious. Let's pray. Our Father, tonight we thank You for such a precious Word. We rejoice tonight in what the Bible is. And dear Lord, tonight as we close this service, help us to reflect and ponder these precious truths. Bless now, we pray, this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.